Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, Canvas Church. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Come on. We have an incredible youth ministry here at Canvas Church. It's been going amazing. And you just saw a couple of those young people up there on the screen. We've been highlighting throughout our This Is Us series just different people that are serving in the church. And I love our young people in our youth ministry, not just because of what they do when they gather together, but because of what they do as they serve in the church. Incredible. Can we give the young people, some of them are sitting here. And it's not just what they do on Sunday morning, but our young people are creating the news that you see every single week right there. They are filming it, they are editing it, they are getting it ready. And so I love the way our church embraces the younger generation and says, hey, you serve, you can do that, you can be a part of that. If you're wondering why they were wearing onesies and pajamas, that's not a weird thing that we do at Canvas Church. It's not like, hey, if you're gonna come to youth, you have to wear onesies and pajamas. This last Tuesday night, we had pajama night, all right? How many of you guys like that pajama morning at Canvas Church and just roll out of bed? Nobody, no takers. Just roll out of bed in your PJs and just come all cozy and comfy, hot cocoa or a cup of coffee. Wouldn't that be fun? Some people are like, yeah, let's do it. And so that was this last Tuesday, they had PJ night. And so they all showed up in their PJ, just something fun to do for the young people. And they had an awesome time together. And one of our youth leaders, Jeremiah Wallace, brought an incredible message that night. And the young people were blessed. And so if you are surrounded by any young people, get them involved in our youth ministry. Incredible opportunity there. And on this, during the second service, we actually have our middle school class that meets. And we got a new theater for them. And so they meet there. And so we have some incredible leaders, and I'm just so proud of them and how God is using them. Say, Pastor, why did you take time to explain that? I just want you to know we're having so many new people walk through the doors of Canvas Church. I saw some new ones this morning walking in, and I just want you to know a little bit about the church. When we're portable like we are, set up and pack up, it's not like we can have all the signage in the world. And so people have questions like, hey, do you have stuff for youth? And what happens with the children? What happens if I bring my friend? And so we've just been taking some time through This Is Us series talking about the church, and not only exposing us to the church globally and what the church should look like and according to scriptures, what the church should be, but also just exposing you a little bit more to Canvas Church. And some of you, you don't have young people, and so you don't even know or where there is a youth ministry, or maybe you don't have children. You're not even aware there is a children's ministry. You just come right in here and you're a part of this. And so just want to let you a little bit more each time about the church and what God's doing here and the opportunities to get involved. Pastor Brandon already highlighted one. It was on the news as well, but I want to re-highlight it. And that is our freedom class that is starting tomorrow night. It's Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30. And I want to just kind of piggyback off what Pastor Brandon said about if you've hit some roadblocks in your life and you just can't seem to overcome them, we want to help you overcome them. And we really believe that this class, as we dive into the major roadblocks, there's actually three major roadblocks that Scripture identifies for people. And we're going to help unpack those, and we're going to dive into that. And we want to help you experience more freedom in your life. So if you feel like you're stuck in your marriage, I guarantee you this class will help. If you feel like you're stuck in maybe just relationships, there's some bitterness, some hurt there, this class will help you. If you just feel like you're stuck in your spiritual growth and you haven't been able to go to the next level, I really believe this class will help you. It's just a 6-week commitment. Love for you to check it out. Once again, text freedom to 858-943-2221. Awesome. Fantastic. Turning your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue the This Is Us series, looking at the church, what the Bible says about the church, and the church that we want to be here at Canvas Church. We've kind of come up with our own definition of the church, but really I think it's a good one. And we've been looking at it this way, that the church really is just imperfect people who have gathered together to seek a God who will love them in their imperfection. How many of you guys are thankful for that right there? That we don't have to be perfect to come before God. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when Paul is encouraging Timothy, talking about the work of Jesus, he says, Timothy, I want you to understand something. Christ came to save sinners. Christ came. Jesus came to the earth not for those that are doing perfect, not for those that are perfectly fine, not for those that are perfectly well, but he came for those who needed a savior. And so that while we were still sinners, Christ died. And so I don't think we're too far off when we come up with this definition that says, here's what we believe the church is, that the church is imperfect people who have come together to seek a God who will love them in their imperfections. Last week, I had a great message. If you missed it, you can catch up on that with our podcast. But we just kind of touched on this idea of judgment, that we don't want to be those that cast judgment on others. And I want to jump back into that thought today out of Matthew chapter 7, because here in Matthew chapter 7, we're actually coming to the tail end in Scripture of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you're new to church like so many are, you don't know what the Sermon on the Mount is. The Sermon on the Mount takes up 5 chapters of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it's really, if we can put it this way, not that there's any bad message that Jesus preached. Are you with me? I would never want to say, yeah, that's one of Jesus's top 10. But this is like one of Jesus's top 3, all right? And this message that Jesus preaches, and he comes for literally 3 chapters. And he's talking about this is what a believer looks like. This is what the church should be. This is what the church is about. And he comes in here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and I want to read it to us today. And the title on mine in my Bible says, do not judge. Do not judge. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, talking about the church. It says, do not judge. Judge. Do not judge. Now, let me give you the definition of judge here in this passage. The definition, it comes from the Greek word, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but krino, and this is what it means. Now, this isn't in your notes, but I need you to write this down because we're going to come back to this idea, okay? So if you're taking notes, just write this down. It's the word krino, and it means to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong. To pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. So in other words, when it says here, do not judge, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, church, do not pronounce your own judgment on what is right and what is wrong. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, there you are. There's people out there. It says, do not judge. Do not pronounce an opinion on what's right and wrong so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log, some translations say beam, or the log or beam in your own eye? Is the question he's proposing. In other words, he's saying you do this, but he's asking why. Why do you go after and pick out the speck out of somebody else's eye, and don't deal with the beam or the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite! For reading in context, he actually yells it. Hypocrite! Now, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to the church. Are you with me? He's talking about believers, okay? Listen, Jesus would not be calling the world hypocrites for living judgmental lives. Because that's what the world does, right? The world is not saved. The world does not come to the truth. The world does not come, you know, to the grace of Jesus. He's talking to the church. Now, I want you to see this, because I've had people come to me before and say, you know what, the reason I don't go to church is because I feel like the church is full of hypocrites. Has anybody ever heard that before? I don't go to, and I find myself at times defending that. That's not true. You're just making an excuse of why I don't want to go to church. But yet, when I look at the Bible, Jesus actually verifies their opinion. Are you with me? He's like, hypocrites, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Deal with what's in you, and then what's in others will be dealt with. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them with their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. What is that verse about? How do we go from specks in people's eyes to beams in your own to now throwing your pearls to dogs and pigs? What is happening right now? This is what's happening. He's using this thought to carry weight to what he just said. He's saying, look, What I'm talking about is holy. What I'm talking about is precious. What I'm talking about is the way I want you to live life. And as you teach this and as you live this, if others don't live by it, don't continue to go down that path and try to get them to live that way. Because what is happening, this is a holy moment. I want you to deal with what's in you. I want you to deal with that log in your eye. Are you with me this morning? He's putting weight to what he just said, and he uses this analogy that if you just keep, not living right, or you are living right, and you try to get other people to do it, and they're not doing it, or you're not living the life that they can see you living. Are you with me this morning? This is holy. Then here's what's happening. If you keep trying to go after it, you're just throwing what's holy, pearls, to dogs and to pigs. He's like, hey, don't do that. Hypocrites! Don't judge. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would just teach us from this passage. That, Lord, we would walk out of here with a greater understanding of what we, the church, ought to look like, of what we, the church, ought to be living like, and that we would deal with the stuff that's in our life. And as we do that, our testimony of your grace and your goodness would be seen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. The Bible says, hey, how can you deal with the speck that's in somebody else's eye when you have this in your own eye? That's what it says, is it not? This is the imagery of the scripture, okay? We are trying to get over here to work with people and help them get their speck out, but we can't. Because we got this thing in our, can you imagine if I'm trying, Pastor Brandon's over here and he's like, help, I got something in my eye. And I'm like, okay, let me help you. But I can't do it. Why? This thing right here. Anybody with me? Wait, the camera didn't see that. Because of this thing right here. And so scripture is saying, hey, look, you want to help other people? The greatest way you can help other people is by dealing with this thing right here. Are you with me? Amen. And as I was thinking about this, maybe you've seen this movie before, but this movie clip came to my mind. I don't know if we can throw it up there. Got it? This is what it reminded me of. It's old school. So this is the Robinsons, you remember? Anybody remember that movie? Anybody ever seen that movie? Okay, this is what he said. Let me interpret what, because I speak dinosaur. He said, I have a really big head and really tiny arms. And he can't do what he wanted to do. He can't get to the boy. And then I don't know if you could read the subtitles on there, because this is a really old movie, and so we pulled an old track. But he said, I don't think this is a really well thought out plan. And then he gets all sheepish and he says, Master, I don't really think this is a really well thought out plan. I don't know if this is a really well thought out plan, church. But you know what? Jesus has a really well thought out plan. And this is his well thought out plan. He realizes that you've got some stuff in your life, that you got some beams, you've got some issues, let's call them issues. You got some issues in your life. And what he wants you to do so that you can help the rest of the church and that so you can help the rest of culture and the rest of the world is not going around trying to deal with the issues in them, but what he wants you to do is he wants you to deal with the issues that are inside of you. And as you begin to deal with the issues that are inside of you, you are making the greatest impact you can both inside of the church and outside of the church. See, I believe this message right here on do not judge. I believe if the church begins to live this and they begin to deal with their own beam rather than in the specks of everybody else, I believe that's when the church is most powerful. I believe that's when the church is most impactful. I believe that's when the church is most relevant, when all of a sudden we begin to say, hey, look, we're not focusing on the issues of the world. We're focusing on this right here so that we can be a pure, spotless bride for Jesus Christ when he returns. Are you with me this morning? See, the Bible says that he's coming back for his pure, spotless bride. That's the church. That's us. We're talking about the church. He's not coming back for a pure, spotless world. The message right here out of Matthew 7 is saying, hey, church, I want you to do this. I want you to focus on the issues that are inside of you. Don't judge others. Don't cast your opinion of right and wrong what is on other people. How can you help the world? How can you help somebody else when you got this big beam in your eye? Somebody with me this morning? I really believe it. I believe the church is most powerful, most effective, and most influential when all of a sudden we embrace the fact that we got some stuff inside of us, but yet we know a God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, are you with me? And by his grace, and all of a sudden we see the issues in us and we allow the grace of Jesus Christ to come and work on those issues. That's the greatest story that we could have anybody else looking at. Are you with me? That's the greatest story we could have anybody else looking at. Well, what happens? What happens is we get issues. And we don't deal with them. Because let's be honest, as humans, we're really good at deflecting. Well, what do I mean by that? We're really good at deflecting. Let me just put it this way. I've had people, nobody in this, it's usually the 10:30 service, but I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, that was such a great message. Is that going to be a podcast? I'm like, yeah. They're like, good, because I know somebody that really needs. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, me too. You should go watch it again. What do? We deflect. We don't accept responsibility. Right. Because here's the thing, once we accept the responsibility that all of a sudden there's something in us, then we realize that we have to do something about it. And so we like to deflect. Oh, maybe it's not the podcast one. Maybe it's the idea of, you know, at least I'm not as bad as. Yeah. Sure. Right? I mean, we deflect, okay? But the minute we begin to live like that, we begin to live in judgment. We begin to live in judgment because the same measure, isn't that what the Bible says? And here's the thing I've come to realize. Sometimes it just creeps up on us. The word judgment here is this, the idea of don't put your opinion about right and wrong on other people. Man, what a great message for our culture right now. If you've been watching the news at all, right, in the last month, you know, as we try to get a new Supreme Court justice put in. Man, you had a lot of people casting their opinion on either side, saying, he did it. He didn't do it. Here's the thing. You got to look at what? You got to look at the facts. See, here I think is sometimes why the world looks at us and calls us hypocrites. Because too oftentimes, rather than saying, here's what the Bible says, we say, here's what you should do. Yes. Here's what Jesus did, or here's what you ought to be doing. And what happens is we are casting our opinion of right and wrong. Is there a right? Is there a wrong? Yes, there is. And it's all found right here. It's all found in the Word of God. It's all found in Scripture. And so what he's saying, church, don't cast your opinion on right and wrong. What I want you to do is I want you to cast me. I want you to point them to me. And the greatest way we do that is when we allow him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to work on our life and work on our stuff. And as he does that, our testimony will be the story that helps other people begin to live differently by his grace. Yeah, that's good. That's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. But I think sometimes, I really do think that even with inside the church, it creeps up on us. You know, the Bible talks about like not having offenses with other people. You don't need to raise your hand, but just think, you ever been offended at somebody? Now, here's what happens when we get offended at somebody. Here's where the beams get in our eye. We get offended at somebody And if you've been around people longer than 5 minutes, come on, somebody. But rather than dealing with that the way the Bible says to deal with it, which is if you have an offense towards somebody, go to them. But usually the person you're offended at is the last person to find out about it. Oh, it's getting quiet in this charismatic church right now. They're usually the last person to find out about it. And typically they don't even find out about it from you. Pastor, this teaching's way too practical. Can you just tear apart the Greek and the Hebrew? Usually they find out about it from somebody else. Because we don't do what the Bible says. Because we formulate our own opinions about how this matter should be handled. And so rather than doing what the Bible says, going to that person and going to that person alone. And listen to me. There's not like a variation or a different. If they're a human being and they've offended you, go to them. But here's what happens. We don't. And then what happens, what's next is even worse. Now we're no longer offended by something they did. We begin to assess their character and say that's who they are. This isn't even in the notes, but this is good. Somebody needs to hear it today. Maybe it's me. I don't know. So now this happened to me, and because I didn't go to them, and I go to somebody else, and I start to share with somebody else, oh yeah, can you believe what Pastor Ben did? Oh, what happened? And then you tell them, like, you know what? I had a friend that happened to at another church. This must be a pastor thing. And what happens? We begin to assess. Now, I just use me as an example rather than you. But we begin to assess that must be who they are. Now, here's what we're doing. We are now judging their character and their heart. Now, here's the scary part. The same measure, the same way that you judge others, is the same way you're going to be judged. Write that one down. Because I guarantee you write that down, you're going to start carrying a lot more grace for people. Are you with me? You're going to start carrying a lot more grace for people. We need to let our testimony be the tool that helps transform someone else's life. And when we show people the power of a transformed life, when we are real with our issues and allow the grace of Jesus Christ to transform us from the inside out, that's what paints the greatest picture for everybody else. Are you with me? Now listen to me, because someone needs to hear this. That doesn't mean as a Christian community, we don't hold each other accountable. Because I think some of you are misunderstanding this right now. I think that when someone comes to you and says, hey, there's a better way, then all of a sudden we're like, don't judge me. No, I'm not judging you. If I was judging you, the correct there is that I'm casting my opinion on right and wrong on you. We're not doing that. That's not what the church does. What the church does, the church points to Jesus. And we let Jesus be the judge. Let me try to explain. I had early on, when we planted Canvas Church. Canvas Church is gonna be 6 years old. Come on, somebody, in January. Yeah. Whoop whoop! Pumped about that, and I'm praying that God's gonna give us our own building. Come on, somebody. That wasn't enough cheers. I'm praying that God's gonna give us our own building. All right. Either that, or every single person here is gonna join the setup and pack up crew. Your choice. Your choice. Oh, they want to stay portable, clearly. All right. But I remember early on, we planted Canvas Church, and we were portable then too. We'd bring stuff in. I remember one of our leaders at the time, one of our people that worked in ministry at the time, brought me one of the church computers and said, hey, Pastor, we found some pornographic videos on the church computer. Dun, dun, dun. And they're like, there's only several people that touch it. And so we think it's one of the people that uses it in media. Now, this was a long time ago. This is not our media crew, okay? And I'm like, okay. And this is what they said. They said, what are you gonna do about it? And I'm like, what? Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I mean, we got to do something about it. They shouldn't be able to serve. And there's two things wrong right there. The first one is I ain't going to do nothing about it. They're like, what do you mean? We need to do something about it. I'm like, right, you need to do something about it. As a Christian brother or sister in Christ, there is somebody else clearly hurting, clearly walking through something. And this is the verse that came to mind. The verse that came to mind is the one I read last week about the woman caught in adultery. And they wanted to pull her before Jesus. Jesus! And I was just like, well, I'm not going to do anything. You found out about it. And trust me, I ain't going to go watch it and verify it. So you found out about it. You go talk to that person and don't say, hey, you're watching porn. You're off the ministry team. Yeah, right. Why don't you go to them and say, hey, what's going on? Yeah. Clearly there's some hurt and some pain in your life. But I want you to know something. Jesus loves you and he has a better way and a better plan. And as a brother in Christ, I want to help you walk out that plan. Amen. What did we do there? We pointed him to Jesus. But if we do it the other way, what do? You did this. You can't serve. You're gone. Right. Or you did this. If you ever do it again, I'm telling you, lightning is going to come from heaven and strike you dead. Or we could be super transparent and real. And we can go and we could say, you know what, man? I had the same struggle. Pastor, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to be real with them. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, I'd be looking at porn too. Oh, that. Everybody looking for a new church next week. All right. Can we be honest? Because if I'm going to sit here and say, no, I would never do that. I don't need Jesus to live holy. I can live holy with it. I'd be telling you a lie. If it weren't for Christ in my life, if it weren't for parents that helped train me up in the way I should go, and the way I should go was never, don't do this, do this. My parents trained me up on the way they should go, and they'd say, Ben, get before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your answer. He's your hope. He's your healer. He's your savior. He's your protector. And not only did my parents point me that way, but every single morning, you can verify it, he was your grandpa. Every single morning I woke up, my dad would be in the same exact place every morning. He would be at his little ugly orange chair. Sorry, Mom. He would be at his little ugly orange chair. And he would be there with the Bible open, reading his Bible and praying. What did he do? He modeled it. Yeah. And he was real with the issues that he had. Yeah. This is good. And what if we just went to people and say, hey, look, man, you know what you need? You need the same person I need. You need Jesus. Yeah. That's who you need. You need Jesus. He really is the way, the truth, the life. Yeah, right. Don't judge. Don't judge. Don't cast your opinion. Don't cast that what's right and wrong. Just keep pointing people to Jesus. This is a good message right here. Keep pointing people to Jesus. Listen, people already know how jacked up they are. They don't need you to verify. Hey, so, let's be real. I mean, it's bad enough that you're looking at porn. You looked at porn on the church computer. Like, I'm sorry, I'm surprised it didn't zap you. What's going on? Right? Listen, people already know how jacked up they are. They don't need us to verify their jacked upness. They need us to show them a better way. And the better way is Jesus. The reality is you be the same way they are without Jesus. You'd be living the same life they're living without Christ. Man, this is so good. Let me give you some points so you can say you got something out of the message. How do we deal with this? Rather than coming over here. How do we deal with this? That's the question, right? deal with the beam in your own life. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Give you some other scriptures. Number one, here's how you can do it. Use the Bible as a mirror, not a microscope. Yes. Use the Bible as a mirror, not a microscope. So when you get up in the morning, or you come to church on Sunday, and you can just look at this and you're like, oh, man, I got something on the right side, outside corner, there it is, yep. Yep, gonna deal with that. Some of you are like this, and you got like double vision. You're like, oh man, I'm really jacked up. I'm like a sinner unicorn. Like, man, good God, like, what is happening? It's like both sides. It's right in the middle. No matter what I do, it's there. I can't even close one eye. Close one, it's on one side. That's a thing. You didn't know that? Sinner unicorns. Where? See, the problem is some of you can't see that. You're like, man, why is he always having fun up there? Church shouldn't be fun. We should be reverent and like fearful and stuff. And then all of a sudden we help you. You're like, oh, wow, church is fun. So good. Amen. See, you can actually get there if you start using the Bible, the gospel, the word of God as a mirror rather than as a microscope. Too oftentimes, here's what we do. We take this and we look through this lens at other people. Oh, man, if I were them, I would so deal with that. Because what does a microscope do? You can't see it with the naked eye, so you got to put it under the microscope, right? And we walking around everybody else. Oh, man, if they were like me, they'd be here early serving. But yet there's this big beam in your eye that says insecurity, and the only reason you're here early serving. See, this is a practical message. We got to use the mirror as a mirror, not as a microscope. We got to stop deflecting onto other people, and we need to accept responsibility. Let me give you a couple verses. I'll read some of them here. James 1, 22 to 25. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And we usually stop right there, but let's read the rest of it. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law, that's the word, of freedom, and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. So in other words, if you come, and you're like, oh man, I'm jacked up, and then you leave, and you're like, I'm good, you just forgot what you look like. It's talking about the word being a mirror. We need to look at the word daily. We need to look at the word. We need to live our life through this thing. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. Write these verses down. You can look at them later for time's sake. Romans 1, 16 through 17 and 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And here's what we need to understand. As we look through the gospel, as we look through the Bible as a mirror, it reflects back to us the stuff we need to work on. And by his grace, it gets worked on. It gets worked out. Now what happens? We continue to see the love and the grace of God working in our life. And now when others come, we can extend grace and mercy to them. They see the transformation. They see the change. And therefore, they want to change as well. We just got to keep looking into the mirror. We need to keep looking into the mirror. We the church are not changing. I want you to hear this. We the church are not changing what people do, but rather what people want to do. And the greatest way we do that is when they see it in us. We the church are not changing what people do, but rather what people want to do. And the greatest way we do that is when they see it in us. Are you hearing that? Listen, if we just continue to try to change what people do, we're into behavioral modification. And we'll approach things differently. But when we look in the mirror and we see God's love, grace, and mercy transforming us from the inside out, all of a sudden they begin to see that what happens, they don't just change what they're doing. All of a sudden there's an inward transformation, and they begin to change what they want to do. We need to make sure that the Bible is a mirror, not a microscope. Let me just give you two more as I bring this to a close. Number two, do not think too highly of yourself. Do not think too highly of yourself. Some of you need to write that one down. Do not think too highly of yourself. It's interesting when I meet with couples that are married, and if you put them in different rooms and you talk with them, you know who the problem is? The other person. You bring them together, and either they say nothing, and their marriage is perfect, or they accept all the responsibility. Oh, yeah, no, it's probably my fault. But you get them alone, you get their honest opinion. What's wrong? They have a higher perspective of themselves than they should.
Sure.
Bible says, don't think too highly of yourself. Romans 12, 1 through 6. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Man, that's worship right there. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly. Did you catch that? Don't think too highly of yourself. Come on, get some common sense. Think sensibly. We all know you're a part of the equation. Are you reading the Bible this morning? Think sensibly. As God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now we have many parts in the body, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another according to the grace given to us. We have different gifts. And accept your gift, live that out to the fullest, but never think too highly of yourself. Here's what happens. When we begin to think too highly of ourselves, we begin to project that on others and we don't extend grace to them. Because we have this standard for ourselves and we think we're living here. We think we're right here because we're thinking way too highly of ourselves. And then so we look at other people and we're like, geez, man, you need to step it up. Like, what is wrong with you? Now, once again, that's the 10:30 service, so. But if we just have a sensible view, a reality check, and remember, you know what happens? We begin to extend grace to other people. We begin to extend grace to other people. Rather, and here's what happens, because here's the standard, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we talk about the Pharisees in Scripture. The Pharisees. You know what the Pharisees did? The Pharisees started out as good, well-meaning people. But you know what they started to do? They started to think of themselves more highly than they should. And so what they did is they had the word of God that, or the law at that time told them what to do, but then they would just be like, well, if that's the case, then we should one-up it because then we'll stay completely. And what they began to do is they began to cast their own opinion of right and wrong on other people. What about the church today? What areas do we do that? Let me just give you one last one. Number three, how do we make sure we deal with this in our own eye? Number three, live at peace with others at all costs. Live at peace with others at all costs. Live at peace with others at all costs. Romans 12, 8. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. The reason there's some unrest in your life is you're walking around trying to take stuff out of other people's eyes. But every time we turn around, you're whacking somebody. Where'd all my friends go? I thought I had some. make some more. Where'd all my friends go? Like, why don't they want my help taking the speck out of their eye? What's wrong with them? I don't get it. Here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we're living at peace with all people. What people in your life right now are you not at peace with? What people? Look at the scripture, listen to this one. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Listen to this now. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Two things will keep you from seeing the Lord. You're not living holy, and you're not at peace with other people. If it's possible on your part. Here's what you need to understand. I must be going long because all the ministry team's leaving to go serve. Don't worry, I'm not offended. I'm not judging. Here's what we need to understand. People have blind spots. You have blind spots. And let me tell you something. Nothing is more bizarre to me than when I'm on the road and I did the best I could to check the traffic in the other lane, and yet I accidentally cut somebody off. And then they speed up, and then they're giving me this. They're giving me their beam, right? Some of you caught that. They're giving you a piece of wood, Pastor? Are they throwing it at you? What's happening? You drive by, they speed up, and they got this angry look, and they're just like, ah! And it's like, what? They're like, you cut me off. And I'm like, sorry, blind spot. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. But what about us? What about in life? If people have blind spots, maybe they didn't mean to do that to you. Maybe they didn't mean to offend you. Maybe they didn't mean to hurt you. Maybe they didn't mean to upset you. Maybe they didn't mean to inflict that pain upon you. Why are we casting judgment now, saying that's who they are, that's their character? Maybe we can extend grace and be like, oops, blind spot. It's okay, I know you didn't see me. No worries. Just drive a little safer, okay? Instead of getting upset, like I can't believe the church did that. Listen to me, the church never hurt nobody. People in the church, maybe, but the church never hurt anybody. The church is the greatest thing happening on the planet. The church is the most beautiful thing happening on the planet. The church is the most brilliant thing happening on the planet, and we get to be a part of that. And he says, listen, church, if you just keep focusing on the issues that are in you, as you do that, your testimony, your story will be the tool that helps somebody else's story. Don't worry about the speck in theirs. Deal with the beam in yours. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, your word is amazing. Lord, I pray, go ahead and stand to your feet, church. God, I thank you so much, God, that you teach us from this passage today. I thank you so much for your grace that's extended, Lord, to us, so that one day we truly could be that pure, spotless, beautiful thing that you're coming back for. So God, I'm asking right now as we leave this place, God, that we would do a sensible reality check and say, God, what beams are in my life that I need to deal with? What issues are right here that I need to deal with? God, let the Bible be a mirror and not a microscope we use on others. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming to Canvas Church today. If you need prayer for anything, we'll have some of the small group or leaders or pastors up here. Love to pray with you. Love to pray for you. And we'll continue our series next week. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.